any veterans? One or two? Okay. And, you know, I'm very patriotic. I was ready and still ready to die for my country when I was in military. But beside that, I thought, my God, America's opened her arms and cordially invited people from all of these other nations in to be a part of this great nation, this great America. And they've educated themselves, come a long way. And now they stand upon this soil of America and protest America and say, death to America and death to Israel. My. I don't know about you, but we're in a troubled time, Pastor. We're in a troubled time. I think Mr. Biden, I think he don't know what to do. But I hope with all my heart he stands with Israel. I'm going to, aren't you? That little old nation over there, let me tell you something, friend. You don't mess with Israel. You don't mess with Israel. She's powerful. Even though she might be one of the smallest continents there is, she's God. God's on her side. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. Aren't we having a good time? Really good time I'm having with you guys. I appreciate it so much, all of you that have come out. How many has been here every night? My, look at that, a host of you. Thank you so much. In the Bible, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 43. Matthew 12 and verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from which came I out, or which I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Father, thank you for your precious word, your goodness and your mercy. Able me through and by your Holy Spirit and power, and I trust you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There's prophetic value to these scriptures here, mainly toward Israel. But I read this scripture and I thought, it leaves, but it comes back. Is that right? When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. Oh, that hellish devil, I hate him, don't you? He's a liar, a thief, a robber, a cheater, a killer. If I could have a hold of him tonight, I'd tie him right out there in front of you and let everybody take your turn at him. He's done us enough harm, hadn't he? He's robbed enough. He's stole enough. But he's always going to be around until God puts a stop to him. And notice it said that when they leave that house, they go and look for dry places. The Bible says the devil is going to and fro in the world seeking whom he may devour. He's a busy foe, isn't he? Trying to find someone that he can devour. And it said that he comes back and finds it empty, swept, and garnished. And then he goes and gets seven greater than even he is. And they come back and they enter in and they abide there. And the worst state of that man is worse than the first. We're in an hour. Think about what I'm saying, if I can just appropriate it right. We're in an hour where the devil is trying his best to empty out every piece of God he can out of America, out of our schools, out of our teaching, out of our school books, out of our churches. Just empty anything out. That's what Israel, you know, Israel always had, they always recognized a God, God of Abraham. And that's why they protested Jesus as the Messiah so much. And so, you know, but now that, you know, when they emptied out all of that, man, they were vulnerable to the devil. Friend, let me tell you something. Keep as much of God in you as you can, especially in this last hour, because he's out to empty us out of everything that ain't like God, or that's like God. He doesn't want us to have anything. He finds it swept. Sweep away everything. Standards. Morals. How many knows the standards of our world is being depleted and swept away? Any standard whatsoever. My, we're living in such a time, friend, that identifies with Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to tell you, I believe with all of my heart, with what little knowledge I have of the Word of God, I believe the Lord could come tonight. I think there's a rumbling going on. I think there's a disturbance in the atmosphere. Israel just attacked to repay Iran. What's that going to do? Escalate into greater things, probably. No doubt. Who's going to get in that conflict? Russia, China, will the United States? Really, it's an uncertain hour. And to the church, I want to say, man, we ought to be filling up with God. Instead of our churches emptying out, we ought to be getting full of God. Sinner, if you're here tonight, instead of you running wild in that world, you better get a hold of God. I know we've stood and preached to you, we begged to you, but it's come down to it now. It's right there now. What we've always been preaching, my God, we're right in the rumble of it. Hallelujah. And I'm glad I'm ready, Pastor. How many glad you're ready? Praise God. But listen, here's what I want to talk about tonight. It says he come back, didn't it? I just want to preach you a simple thought. He'll be back. He'll be back. And that's talking about the devil. I don't know about you now. I want to talk to the sinner a minute. When I was lost, I don't know about you, but I was his. The Bible says he's the God of this world, and I didn't have God in my heart, so he was my God. And if you're lost tonight, he's your God, whether you want to argue that point or not. And I remember, you know, I wanted to do good, but the devil kept trying to sweep all that goodness out. What's he doing today? Man, when you see all the crime on our streets, and the wickedness and the vileness and the hatred that's going on in the political arena, and not only that, but in men and women in general. The devil's got a hold to where he's sweeping everything away. That would identify with God. You know, as long as you have a fear of God, there is a restraint there. But if there's no fear, there's no restraint. I wasn't saved up till I was, I think, 21, I got saved. But my dad was a good moral man, and he would sit outside and he'd sit us five children down and he'd read us the Word of God. I grew up with the fear of God. When I was in the military and I was dispatched with B Company to go to C Company after they'd been wiped out and take over up there, I remember I sat in that old truck that was escorting us up there, and I thought, my God, any moment a sniper could take me out. And I would just hurry toward God. Now, God, you know I'm not all that bad. I mean, no sinners do that. You want to buddy up to him, but you're as lost as you can be. Just being good don't save you. So there was a fear in my life, and what I'm getting around to say is that even as a sinner, the devil always comes back. When I would drink, and tell me if I'm wrong, any of you that's been there, you can get so bad into that habit that you want to quit. It's taking your money, it's taking your health, it's stealing your marriage, and there's a well-being and a sense about you, I'd like to quit this. And maybe you try to for a while, but how many knows? Human will only goes so far. And then the devil knows it and he comes back. What if, he might invite you to the bar room. And even though you resist it, your resistance is not strong enough. What I'm trying to say is he always comes back. One of my worst problems as a sinner, I love to gamble. I wasn't good at it. You could cheat me and I'd never know it. I was just a compulsive gambler. I loved to play the game. But I remember one time, I took a Bible to my wife and I said, I'd lost a bunch of money and I laid my hand on the Bible. I said, wife, I swear to you on the Bible, I'll never gamble again. And I meant that with all of my heart. But he came back. He came back. And it wasn't long after that, the guys would call me and they'd say, hey, got a big game going over on the north side of town. You want to get in this one? And the devil would talk to me, man, you might win enough to pay your house payment off, or house off. You might win enough to buy you a new car. He's always coming back. You'll never get rid of him. Amen. And he kept coming back. People that are on drugs, I believe a lot of them really would like to get off of drugs. But you can get so embedded in that sinful action, friend, to where, you might swear off of it. You might quit for a day or two or a week or two. But how many knows he always comes back with an invitation? And you get back into drugs. Drinking the same way. That he always comes back. And he wants to sweep every bit of God out of you. Any kindness, any love, anything that he's against, he wants to sweep it and empty you out so he can come back in a full charge on you. Amen. And how many knows not only sinners, but the saints of God, we still have a problem. I'm afraid sometimes we sinners, the way we preach, we make sinners think, hey, if you come to Jesus, you'll never have another problem. You can quit drinking and he'll never come back and try to entice you again. You can quit drugs and you'll never be enticed again. Not so. Probably even more so. Because when he loses you, he wants you back. I'm reminded of a story I heard where a pastor, a young lady, had got saved in his church, and she came to him a little later and said, Pastor, I don't know really. I said I got saved, but I don't know if I really got saved. He said, well, why? She said, because ever since I prayed that night, that devil's telling me I said the wrong words, I done it the wrong way, and I'm not saved. And he said, well, that's a good sign you're saved. She said, how do you know? He said, did he say that before you got saved? He didn't have nothing to get you back from. You were already his. So when you get saved, friend, a lot of God gives you power, amen, to overcome the world. Think about that. Overcome the world. You can overcome a 3-inch cigarette. You can overcome that fifth of whiskey. You can overcome that cursing. You can overcome that jealousy, that envy, that strife, that lust, because you've got the greatest power within you than man could ever ask for. But the problem is, You've still got a devil out there. And he keeps enticing you and trying to get you to do things. And I feel like they might be those, you know, that even probably in this revival, I like to see people when they get saved, they really show evidence when they're hungry enough to come back. And sad to say, I'm very alert about this matter. When people say they got saved, I watch them. When you went home and told mom and daddy or your wife you got saved, they begin to watch you greater and see if there was traits of God, characteristics of God coming out of you. And I don't know about you, but if you really, really, really get born again, friend, my God and God's love gets in you, you'll love the house of God. You'll love the family of God. You'll love the things of God. You'll not want to run with the world. But we've got a mixed up generation out there, friend, that thinks you can live like a half breed. You can live for the devil, but acknowledge God and you'll make it to heaven. I'm telling you, you will not. You got to sell out to God. You got to stand bold and tall with God and rebuke that devil because he's going to come back after you. God help us. So, and even I. Pastor, even I can remember, it's not been that so long ago when I got saved in a Pentecostal church. You know how wild we used to be? And I walked in that place my first visit. I said, they're flat out crazy. And nobody ought to act that way in church, you know? And my second visit is when I got saved. My buddy took me, and man, I gave my heart to God, but when I left there and I went back to work and I began to tell the guys I got saved, I quit chewing, I quit smoking, I quit cursing, I quit gambling. Hello? And they could not handle that change so quick. One of them come up to me and said, Brother, he said, Wilson, you seem to be a very smart man. He said, looks like you'd been smarter than to go down there and join that hen house holiness church. Called us, you know, named us hen house. Well, that was an insult, wasn't it? Where they run the floor and jibby-jabbering and talking those tongues. Oh, I'm going to tell you, friend, any way the devil can get you to turn back, he'll do it. Hallelujah. But by the help and grace of Almighty God, you got to stand through all of that. You got to keep going back to church. You got to keep praying. You grow with God and be sanctified in the things of God. This modern day religion, people pray around the altar and then you don't see them the whole revival or you don't see them again. I'm concerned about that. Aren't you? I mean, this is a great big deal, friend. You're saved from darkness into light. You're saved from death unto life. You're on a road to hell, and you get saved, and you're on your road to heaven. Your name's put in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your whole intellect, your whole thought line, everything begins to change. Your love begins to change. Your compassion begins to change. Hallelujah. He'll be back. And then my church taught me, now, brother, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remember that? The next initial thing that preachers taught in our church, now you're saved, but you need to get the power in you. And we want to pray you through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. My, they were big on that. They wore me out at the altar. They'd get around you, the women of the church would get around you, friend. I'm going to tell you what, they surrounded you like a prison. And I said something the other night, you either pretended you got it or you got it. You wanted relief, you wanted to get it. I mean, they're standing there saying, give up, little brother, and one saying, hold on, little brother. I didn't know what to do. Amen. But I did receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But guess what? He came back. Who? The devil, and tried to talk me out of it. A lot of us receive gifts and healings from God, but we're not aware of how tactful he is, and when he comes back, he steals it from us. and we just roll over and cry about it instead of being a soldier about it and combating him. Now, my excuse was the devil would tell me, you didn't get it. Your pastor, you're copying your pastor what he said. My pastor was very vocal. And when he preached, he wanted everybody in. If you didn't get in with him, he'd run and pull you out of the seat. His tie was the dirtiest tie in the church. Because he got so into it, he'd take that tie, man, and you'd get so concerned about his tie, you'd forget what he's saying sometimes. But he would burst loose and speak in tongues, and the devil, see, he come back with his shy ways and said, you've heard him so much, you're copying what he's saying. How many of you have been through that? You wouldn't admit it anyway, would you? Amen. And so he tried his best to talk me out of speaking in tongues. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm still speaking in the unknown tongue, bless God. I still pray in the prayer language, praise God. He didn't take nothing away from me. I fought through all of that, bless God. Hallelujah. And then, isn't it true? In the church, one of the most needful things after, besides salvation, that's number one. There's too much sickness in the church. I mean, for a man called Jesus that took 39 stripes at Calvary and says, by my stripes you're healed, we ought to take that serious. There ought to be more healings among us. But I'll guarantee you, friend, if God should heal you tonight, he'll come back and try to take it from you. That same pain you had, listen, I still have symptoms. I guess that's the right word. I still have symptoms of things that, you know, that I've been healed of. He'll come back every now and then. I'll never forget one night I was laying in bed. Man, these symptoms came back at me. Fear hit my mind. Said, it's come back on you. You got it back again. And I, you know what I done? I sat right up and I said, devil, I defy you in the name of Jesus. You are not coming back. I was healed, and I'm staying healed. You can't have it back. Oh, some of you don't understand that, do you? You bless your heart. I hope you aren't so timid about that. But he can't. Listen, he's a robber, a thief. And he'll come back and rob that healing. He'll rob that experience of tongues. He'll rob that experience of salvation if you'll surrender it to him. But all greater is he that is in you than he is of the world. I was in church once, and some preachers and I were called to a house, a dear little lady, and she had a problem, and we went there and laid hands on her and prayed, and the power of God manifested. Listen, she jumped straight up and down and clapped her little old hands, and she said, oh boy, it's gone, Brother Wilson. And she stopped and looked at me. She said, but it'll be back. It always does. Think about it. She opened up her mouth and surrendered that back to the devil by confessing negatively. She could have said, bless God, he tries to bring it back. I get some of those old familiar feelings about it, but I don't allow him to bring it back. God paid a great price for that. Jesus took those stripes, and by his stripes I'm healed, and I'm going to maintain that, bless God. Hallelujah. He'll be back, but he cannot take it away. But he wants to empty us. He wants to sweep everything away. He wants to garnish us. You know, Israel, after being emptied of principles of God and all any standard of God was swept away from them, they garnished him. In other words, they set up a front. You know, people do that. How many knows you can let that devil take everything you've got? And someone will oppose you and say you're wrong, and you're so into defending yourself, you'll defend your wrong way. That's what homosexuals are doing. Your Bible says it's an abomination, but they will tell us This, you all got to accept this lifestyle. We're here to stay. I'm going to tell you what, man, they're in for a weird awakening. He always comes back. And just like he came, he come back to Israel. Friend, he's going to come back to America and every nation that will listen to him. He's coming back in crime. Crime is more rampant, ungodly, and you name it than it was before. There was a restraint on some of it. Wickedness is been swept and emptied out to where no restraint whatsoever. I mean, the law helped do a lot of it. And that man up there in the White House. Amen. As long as you don't steal up to $1,000, what does that do? That empties out any principle, that sweeps away any standard whatsoever, except the one you make. And I'm hoping I'm appropriating this right. My mind's just going everywhere on this, but what I want you to know, what I want you to see is, church, we're in a dangerous hour. Amen. And we need to fill up with God and get every bit of God we can get. Look at churches. Look at churches in this hour. In most regions, churches that used to have Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night service, whittled that down to what we first quit Saturday nights. Now we have quit Sunday night services in most areas. Revivals, this is the first full revival I've had in months. Oh, I'm still getting calls. Will you come for one night, Brother Wilson? And may I say this without being insultive? Friend, churches will pay you more nowadays not to preach to them than they prayed back when I, in my era of time, to preach for them. Are you listening to me? And so you got to look at where we're at in our decline. And so the devil's not only working in the world, but he's working in us. Sweeping out revival, sweeping out church activity, and mixed up Christians cry out, oh, it's a busy hour. We need our social life. We need to go to our ball games. Didn't the Bible says in the last days there'll be such lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God? Didn't the Bible say that in the last days there'll be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God? Amen. And so, I just want to tell you tonight, friend, we're in an hour where we really don't need to be emptying out anymore. We need to be filling up. Hallelujah, with the things of God. Sinner, you're in an hour. You think you're empty now. You think you're doing a lot of things you wouldn't do. You held your moral standard. You were taught well by mom or dad or the school until you had a restraint. You'd only do so much sin, and then you because you had that standard within you. But has the devil broke through? Have you went wild? Look at that world out there, friend. There's no restraint. They're doing what they want to do. They've been emptied out. Things have been swept out of them. Our schools. What an assault on our school teachers. And on school where our young children get good teaching. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But I'm gonna park this right here. How many knows he comes back? But how many knows Jesus comes back? Amen. He's always there to fortify us, to help us, and in the Word of God, watch this. The devil came to Jesus after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And he said, if you be the Son of God, man, cast these stones into bread. But watch what Jesus did. May I tell you, when he comes back, you come back. You see that? If you be the Son of Man, cast these stones into bread. Jesus didn't say, don't you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. I raise the dead. I give sight to the blind. I can do anything. No, he went to God's word. The devil wants to sweep all of that word out of you. Why? Because, listen, I quoted it a moment ago. God magnified his word above himself. If you and I, friend, if you want to get any defense against the devil, begin to read that word. My God, let it get in you richly. Let it live there. Get that word. And when that devil comes back to rob your sickness, tell him what's written. When he comes back to rob you of your gifts, tell him what's written. Don't try to fight him on your own. You can't win. That word will put him to flight, bless God. Now, I don't know about you, but listen. If that's the way Jesus fought the devil, I'll take his principle. You can tell me all you want to how you battle him, but I'm going to battle him like Jesus. Amen? And when he comes in like a thief, my God, I'm going to have some word for him. Because he hates the word. And did he not come back the second time? He come back to him again after Jesus said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He left him, but he came back. He'll always come back. But you've got to have an offense, or a defense rather. Hallelujah. And he took him up on a high mountain. And he showed him all the glory of the world. He said, all of this will I give you if you'll bow down and worship me. Jesus comes back with the word. You see that? When your sickness comes, tell him what the word says about your sickness. Don't whine and carry on. When he comes to you to defeat you in lust or pride or envy or strife, tell him what the word says. He hates the word of God. Jesus won all three battles, didn't he? He took him after that. He won that. He said, you shall not bow down and worship God. You know, worship the devil, but worship God. And he took him on a high pinnacle for him. And he won there. Bless God. What I'm telling you tonight, he'll always come back. If he come back to Jesus, he'll come back to you and I. It's not a negative message. This is not a message for the devil, friend. This is a message to bring awareness where we're at. We're in a trifle hour, bless God. We're in an hour where the devil is attacking every region. But you and I are victorious. Hallelujah. And we'll win the battle. He'll come back. Now the Bible says, Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you. Come on, our singers. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come for you. The consolation you and I have as we see that world emptying out of any morals, any standards, and we see the devil coming into their mind. We see corrupt leaders. We see corrupt this and corrupt that. As good leaves, bad comes in. And that's what happened in Noah's day. That's what happened in Solomon's day. And we got to be aware of that and realize, my God, he's coming back with vengeance. We're last day people, end time people. Can you say amen? Sinner, if you're sitting here tonight, you don't know God. I don't know how you're taking my message, but the devil ain't going to let up on you. He's not going to let up on the church. But the difference in you and me, or you and the church, we have power. We have the power to overcome the world. We have power to defeat the devil. He said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and over scorpions and over all. Everybody say all. All power of the devil. That lust cannot take you down. You have power to say no to it. Because God has given us that power. Stand to your feet, would you please? Hallelujah. I'm glad he's coming back to get us out of this place. America's wonderful. I'm glad to be a United States citizen. I've been to some third world countries. I'd want to come over here too. But the invasion has started. Now, in my concept, I don't think there's no end to it except Jesus Christ. I don't think there's no other help for us except through Jesus Christ. Amen? And God help us. Thank God for people. Thank God for pastors that will still hold revival and realize, devil, you're not going to empty my people's minds out. You're not going to sweep all the godly things out of us. We're going to stay full of Almighty God. Sinner, it's going to get worse, honey. You'll be sucked into it little by little because people follow the crowd. And there's a multitude out there that are stampeding over each other to go to hell because the law can't restrain them. The courts can't restrain them. The prisons are overfull. We got crooked judges, crooked policemen, crooked lawyers, crooked. And the only way to run to is Jesus. Jesus. Things can get so far out of hand that that the only answer is Jesus. I'm telling you, tonight is Jesus. Have I made sense to you? Have I helped you in it tonight in my feeble way? I hope I have. I'm going to open this altar. Want you to come. Give you an invitation to come tonight. Come. Get more of God. You can't get too much of him. Come and fill up. Don't let the devil empty you out. Come and get filled up with the things of God. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you're a backslider, by all means come tonight. That's what he died for. That he might save us. Come on, come on. Would you do that? Hallelujah.